our interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I'd like to begin in the second chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. It said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" These wise men, these rulers, had seen the star of the Messiah. And I've often wondered, how did they know what that represented? But they had studied the prophecies. They had studied the prophets and knew that there was going to be a star that was going to indicate the birth of the Messiah, of a king. And I don't think they had full understanding of what it all meant. They probably thought it very likely was a king of a country that they were coming to worship and pay honor to. But I think about here, it said they came for the purpose of worship. They came to pay homage to. They came to glorify. And they came to humble themselves too. You know, it's impossible to worship until there's humility. Because true worship has to do when we are humbling ourselves to something greater than us. And they were willing to come. This word worship actually means, as we read on down, to prostrate oneself. In other words, to get down, oftentimes putting their forehead down on the ground, to get down very low before, to acknowledge as a king. We read in verse 9, it said, after they'd gone to Herod and realized that's not where the Messiah was, it's not where the king was born, it said he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." We know that Herod's motivations, he had ulterior motives here. He didn't have any intention of worshiping. He wanted to destroy anybody that would threaten his position. But it said, "When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house," as you know, this was most likely quite some time later after Christ had been born. But it said, "When they came to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." As I considered the wise men's desire to worship, and I was seeking the Lord what he would have for us for the service today, I thought, you know, the Lord began to talk to me and said, that's why we're here. That should be our purpose for coming to service this morning. It's not just for what I can get for myself. Don't want to come to service with any ulterior motives. But my desire and my purpose in coming this morning was to worship. It was to lift up, and it was to come with thanksgiving for what Christ came and did for us as a people and as individuals. And I believe the Lord would be very pleased with worship this morning. The wise men came to worship him. I think that's a reason we're here, but why do we worship the Lord? What is the reason this morning that we worship? Why do we humble ourselves to him? Why do we lift him up? Why do we glorify him? Because see, it's more than just that there was an innocent baby. And that warms my heart. When I think of that beautiful story of Jesus, Sister Lene said, Jesus coming as a baby, innocent. He left the splendor of heaven to come down and experience life, to experience your temptation, to experience your struggles, to experience rejection, to experience heartache, to experience family that didn't accept what he brought. Jesus experienced all of that. But it went beyond that. It was because Jesus was willing to offer Himself as a sacrifice on the cross that through His blood, I could be saved from the power that the devil had in my life. That is the reason why I worship Him this morning. It's not forced. You know, sometimes when you think of worship, people, children think, well, I have to go to church or I have to do this. But do you know true worship is voluntary? True worship was when I want with all of my heart, I choose to humble myself to Christ and honor Him and lift Him up. So why do we worship Him this morning? I want to read, and we have read in the last week multiple times right here. But if you will allow me to allow the Scripture to do the preaching this morning. Why are we here to worship? In Matthew, in the first chapter, 20th verse, when Joseph had found that Mary, his espoused wife, was with child, he was going to put her away because it appeared that there was impurity. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and spoke to him, and as the 19th verse tells us, that he was going to put her away privately and not make a public example of it. But in verse 20 it says, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, it was something divine. This was not a result of impurity or unfaithfulness. This is something that the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I still believe in the virgin birth this morning. There are many people that deny the virgin birth, but it was that that made Christ an acceptable sacrifice for sin. It was His humanity coupled with His divinity that made Him a sacrifice acceptable to purge sin. It said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And why was his name to be called Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sin. Do you notice that it gave possession to Christ before salvation? He shall save his people. Are you his people this morning? This is the reason why I've come to worship. Because of Jesus. Names had much more meaning in days of old than they do today. But His name was Jesus because it means Savior. He came to save His people from their sins. Is not that reason alone to worship the Lord? That there is a Savior that can forgive us of all of the wrong that we've ever done, and we can become new creatures. And how is that possible? It is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ this morning. And then the Scripture, it goes on to say, now this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, children, young people, Emmanuel means what? God with us. Do we not have reason to worship this morning? Do we not have reason to be joyful in our spirit, regardless of the darkness of the world around us? Jesus is our Savior. He is our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Before Jesus came, there was a distance between man and God. And that distance was put there because of sin. And there was no way that man could be reconciled to God because sin stood in the way. Have you ever had a desire to be close to someone and there's just something standing in the way? Well, sin stood between us and God, and as much as God wanted to be reconciled to man, and as much as man wanted to be reconciled to God, it was impossible. And when you went to bed at night, and it got quiet, there was still just that. There was a void in people's spirits. There's a vacancy. But because Jesus came, it said His name would be called Emmanuel. In other words, God came down in the flesh in the form of His Son Jesus Christ, through His Son Jesus Christ, to reconcile us with God the Father. And in life, whether you're, if you're not saved this morning, if you don't know the Lord, there is an Emmanuel that has come to bridge the gap between us and God. And in an experience of salvation, there have been so many times I've been thankful for Emmanuel. The one that came when I... Have you ever felt like Job did? It's like, if I were just like God, then I could commune with Him. But God is way up there and I'm way down here. And if there was just but a daysman that could bridge that gap. That's why Jesus came. He came to be a daysman or a mediator. He came to be an Emmanuel, to bridge the gap between us and God. And with the heartaches of life and with the struggles and the problems that come in this life, we have reason to rejoice because the Lord Jesus understands our humanity because He lived it. But yet, because of His divinity, He's capable of bridging the gap between us and God. And there are times that the other day I didn't know how to pray. And the Lord, the Scripture what said, the Spirit maketh intercession for us. With groanings that cannot be uttered. The other night, I was almost overtaken. I was praying and I could not pray anymore because the burden was too great. And it was beginning to crash in around me. And the Lord let me know that that's what He came to do. There are some things in life that this flesh is not capable. Because even with the burdens that we have, and you can pray and pray, but you can only go so far. And there's a point that we have to say, Lord, I have an Emmanuel. I have a God that is with me. I have the Spirit of the Lord and Christ. He is there making intercession when we can't pray anymore. And He's saying, let me do my job now. Let me carry the case to the Father and find a place of rest in security of knowing that God is with me and God is with you this morning. Do we have reason to worship? It's because all of this is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Romans in the 5th chapter, in the 8th verse, I believe we just referenced it last Sunday, but God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. Much more now than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath. We'll be saved from judgment. We'll be saved from the end result, the penalty of sin. We can be saved from that and delivered from that. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Saved from the wrath to come. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The price of sin has been paid. It does not matter how low, how deep, how bad, how impossible sin, what sin brings to people's life. The atonement has been made, and now we can be reconciled to God. All of the old things can be passed away, and everything become new. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I say again this morning, that's reason to worship. That's reason to be here in service this morning. It's reason when we leave here and go our separate ways to go with a deep-seated heart of thanksgiving because I have a Redeemer. I have a Savior. God is with me. The atonement has been made. I've been saved from the wrath to come. And all of this was made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. in the 4th chapter of Luke. I'd like to read to you the first, we kind of refer to it as the first recorded message of Jesus. And I would say that's pretty important, isn't it? 4th chapter of Luke, in the 14th verse, it said, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So He was teaching, and He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. Can you see Jesus? Just the beginning of His ministry, coming into the synagogue, knowing that all the things that the Father had for Him to do in life. And He stood up before these people that had seen Him grow up as a child. And He got up, and this is what He read from the book of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." He wasn't just reading like we read. He was saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." What did the Spirit of God do? He said, "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." You know what it means to be poor? It means to be needy. It means to not have. I have reason to worship this morning. Jesus came to preach the gospel to those that are needy. And He said, "He has sent me to heal," who? "The brokenhearted." To those that are hurting in their spirits. To those that have that internal pain that nobody else can see. Jesus said, "He sent me, God the Father sent me to heal those that are brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive, to those that are bound, to those that can't escape and are bound to sin and want to do differently but cannot." Jesus said, "I came to give you, to release the captive, and give deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, those that can't see, those that don't understand the way to take. The Father sent me to open up your eyes and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to those that are bleeding underneath the skin. To those that are bruised, He came to give liberty, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I believe that's one of the most beautiful messages that could have ever been preached. And the reason that it's beautiful is because we have access this morning to all of those things through our Lord Jesus Christ. To the hurting, to the confused, to the wounded, to those that have sin in their life and it seems like there's no way out. To every burden that you have this morning, there's healing and deliverance and power through our Lord Jesus Christ. We say, why are we here to worship? Because of that. There was a man by the name of Simeon in the temple. He was a just man. He was devout. And the Scripture says in Luke 2 that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was raised, that's another name for the Messiah, the consolation, the Messiah, the deliverer, the comforter of Israel. And when Jesus was brought to him according to the custom of the law, he looked on and he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And he went on to say that there was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. Do you know this morning that we also can see the consolation of Israel, the comfort, the strength, the friendship of Jesus Christest, that is, can be a reality today. The Messiah was known as that consolation of Israel, but I think about what a beautiful title that is, the consolation. Have you ever needed a consolation? You know, sometimes it may just be a word. There have been times that I've received consolation not by what someone said, but sometimes by what they didn't say. Sometimes it was just the hug around the neck. Consolation. It was comfort. You know the Lord has done that for me. Has He done that for you? Have you been in those places that you were struggling and the Lord, maybe you still had questions and you were still struggling, but you just felt the presence of the Lord come in and just wrap you up in His arms. We have reason to worship this morning. The Lord loves you. Jesus cares about every single burden that you have. And as we are in this Christmas season and the world is so busy with so many fleshly things, let's remember the reality of the comfort of the hope. Because in sin they had no hope. There was no way out. But Christ came to bring hope. Over in Romans chapter 5, very familiar passage. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Is not Jesus the embodiment of the glory of God? He's the embodiment of it. He represents the glory of redemption, the glory of salvation, the glory of hope. In the time of darkness, the Scripture says He's the Prince of Peace. He's the bright and morning star. The hope of a brighter tomorrow is found in Jesus Christ. And when today may seem dark and it may not seem like you see a way out, I want you to remember and look up. When my heart is overwhelmed, David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David also said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. When we look around and we see darkness, do you know it said the wise men were exceeding joyful when they saw that bright star? You know, we can look up this morning above all the things that might trouble us. And we have cause to worship. We have cause to rejoice because Jesus Christ is still providing hope. That's where our hope is. He's still providing a light to light the way. And so I would conclude the message this morning once again in the second chapter of Luke. As we read about the shepherds that were out in the field, Luke chapter 2 verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They didn't know what was happening. And I think there are times in our lives that we don't know what's happening. And the Lord, the angel said, fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. You remember I asked you at the beginning if you were some of His people? We have a wonderful message of joy and hope in Jesus Christ this morning. And it's not something that we have to wait for. We have access to that hope right now through Jesus Christ. We bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born... Again, this was a personalized message. This is Emmanuel we're talking about now. For unto you is born. Brother Leroy, for unto you was born. Isn't that mean something? To know that that was for you, Brother Leroy. That was the Lord looked down and he saw Leroy Smith 2,000 years later that was going to need some hope and some joy and some comfort and some deliverance. And he looked down and he saw Michael Smith and he saw my need and he said, I love you. And he came to bear my sin. And he came to break the power of Satan. And He came to give all of us a deliverance from the wrath of God that's going to come. And He came to give us that in the darkest night that we could look up and still find hope for our Lord Jesus Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, that message is still the same today. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, that's where we are, on earth peace, to men of goodwill, one translation bears out. Peace to men of goodwill. If you open up your heart to the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ, we find that peace. He's the Prince of it. And it said it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the babe, they found the Messiah, they found the consolation, they found the healer, they found Him there lying in a manger, ready to take on life, to experience your burdens and your pain and your joys and your sorrows. And He came to turn our sorrow into joy. He came to take the tears, and He came to give peace. He came to take the burdens when you say, I can't take any more. He came to take that load and say, just come unto me, all ye that labor. If you're feeling burdened down, just come to me and I'll give you rest. We have reason to worship this morning. All of this because, and found still today, for our Lord Jesus Christ.